Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yes, it is indeed the Out of Character Show here on 93.7 The Ticket, hour number two here as we get it rolling. I'm Jake Buckman in, as usual, on the Out of Character Show, but Austin Orman jumping in for hour number two. Adam is out here on this Friday. He will be back on Monday. Jake Sorensen stopped in for a good first hour. If you didn't catch that, head to theticketfm.com afterwards and check that out. Of course, you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Allo, you know, all the normal opportunities there. And I did also want to let you know it is noon hour, and that means it's lunchtime here at The Ticket. That is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-in sandwiches. A burnt-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, a half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue. Again, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Austin, welcome into the noon hour. How's it going today?
It's great. I apologize to everyone who is looking forward to hearing Terrell Farley's voice, but he copped out, so you're stuck with me for another hour. Sorry, folks, but not too sorry.
That's right. Farley will be in for Bach in the Black Shirt as usual, so you have to wait another 55 minutes for that. But there's no downgrade there, and maybe athleticism a little bit. But
Take Farley now.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Still pretty athletic. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen him move a little bit.
Yeah.
But
we took him out to the hallway, one day, and he was trying to prove that he could still jump, and he jumped and hit something, one of the signs in the hallway that just I never would even think about being able to hit. I mean, I just couldn't do it. And, he's nearing 50 now, or 50 now that his birthday has passed, and he's still able to do it. So
it wasn't an anti-Farley take. It was, I got to have some level of confidence in myself take, to be completely fair.
Well, fair enough. I'm just saying he's still pretty athletic, is what I would say there. But I asked Sorensen this. I want to ask you this as a Royals fan as well, heading into the final series here with the A's. Interesting kind of situation for the Royals. They're out of the playoff hunt now, out of the wild card race, but they are a game up of 500 entering the series. Therefore, if they win two games, then they'll have a winning record. If they get swept, they'll have a losing record. They win one game, they'll be even. Is it a big series? I mean, is that something that's important to you, though? It's all kind of written. You're not going to be in the postseason. The Royals don't often have winning seasons, so at least in that case, it would be another number that you can kind of throw into the winning seasons category. But even 500, would that appease you as a Royals fan this year? I mean, obviously, knowing what, considering what you were expecting coming in.
Buck, travel back in time with me to, let's go back to 1994.
Okay? Let's do it.
A strike shortened season. Do you know, since 1994, how many times the Kansas City Royals have won even 78 games in a year?
There's, of course, the World Series appearance, the World Series win. There's last year. I was kind of looking at it earlier, so I'm cheating a little bit. I know there was the year before the World Series run. So I would guess those four.
Eight times in 32 years have the Royals won even 78 games in a 162-game season. 161, of course, they did that for a few years after the strike before it moved to 162 officially in the year 2000. Since 2000, The Royals have won 78 games or more in 2003. You got to skip all the way to 2013, 14, 15, 16, and 17. They won 81 and 80 games. And then last year they did it at 86, and this year they're at 80. Getting to 82 wins, which would be taking 2 out of 3 from Oakland, probably needs to happen. Just because, come on, it's the Oakland Athletics. Yes, they have a pulse this year. No, you're not just playing against a skeleton. But come on, if you can't win 2 out of 3 from the A's, who, I should note, swept the Royals in Kansas City as part of the Royals swoon in June, you got to be feeling a little bit pissed off about that, that maybe those three games are what kept you on the periphery of the playoff race instead of in it, really, in any meaningful way with 10 days to go. So there's absolutely pride on the line for these guys. I mean, this is a bunch of the same players that were around for the 56 and 106 year, just two seasons ago. So in the big picture, long run of the Kansas City Royals, is there a huge difference between them winning 81 games and 82 games? No. 83 would be great. Finish a few games clear of 500. Absolutely. Sign up for it. Because I think, at the very least, the bare minimum baseline has been met. The Royals got Royals fans to football season. They were competitive. They were in the race. And they had a shot in September. That's all Royals fans have been asking for the last 32 years. And they did it. But again, that's the bare minimum. Year over year, sure, step back. Not going to make the playoffs after you win the wild card series last year. That's disappointing. Royals were maybe a little bit smoke and mirrors last year. I got to pull up the exact numbers here. I take it back. So the Royals were actually probably a little unlucky last year. 86 and 76 overall. Their Pythagorean win-loss was 91 and 71. So maybe 5 games unlucky. But, I mean, think about that. I mean, a team that went from 56 wins in 2023 to 86 wins, a 30-win jump. And the numbers are telling you it could have been a 35-win jump, which would have been unparalleled, not just in modern baseball history, but pretty much in baseball history, even back in the old days. So I think the bare minimum has been accomplished in the big picture sense. I mean, even if they get swept by Oakland, it's going to suck because there's a really sour taste in your mouth. You got swept by the A's twice. No one wants to do that. But I mean, even if all they do is they end up winning 80 games, that's still a step forward in the big picture. And it'll tell you what you need to accomplish more for next year. Next year feels more playoffs or bust. This was a, okay, just don't collapse again. Mm-hmm. If last year was a miracle year, validate what you did last year. And for the most part, they did. Offense was still subpar, still below average. Pitching staff was good. I mean, that carried over for them year over year. So I think the Royals have already done enough to validate that last year felt fluky maybe at the time and was a historic turnaround, but wasn't necessarily a fluke. But now, okay, you've established that your floor is that you're going to be in the race in August. How do you take that next step as a franchise?
Well, let me ask you this, because it's just kind of interesting, because it does get to a point. Obviously, in baseball, you're not so much care about where you're going to land in the draft. Would you root against the Colts if they're, last week of the season, they can get a better draft pick if they lose? I'm sure you've been in that situation as a Colts fan. I've been there plenty as a Cardinals fan. And I'll openly admit, sometimes those wins late in the season, I just go, why? That's not better for the franchise. Do you find yourself ever rooting against your teams for draft position sake?
It's funny because the Royals, especially over the last 10 years, have had a really, really fun run of drafting sixth in a 5-player draft. Or seventh in a 6-player draft. That's just how it's gone. And it's such a crapshoot anyways. Every team can point back to, oh, this guy was still available when we picked. Oh, right. We took this guy instead of that guy. That's not new to every franchise. And of course, baseball has the new rules where you can't pick in the top 10 in more than 3 consecutive years. So that's where the winning season last year for the Royals was so good, because even if they had the third worst record in baseball, they wouldn't have been drawn in the lottery in the top 10. They would have picked 11th or 12th, somewhere like that. The NFL, it's a little bit different. I think I've been a little bit more front office pilled in football and basketball, where I've taken more of that big picture approach to, this game's meaningless. Let's do what's best for the direction of the franchise in the long term. And I think there's an element of that that's healthy, in that a lot of fans wouldn't necessarily make that their first move because it's just so unnatural. Why would I root against my team? Yeah. I love my woman to win every game. And I do think I have lost some of that fandom innocence of, well, of course they're my team. I want them to win every game. Let's go ahead and play spoiler and knock someone off. Or, oh, we beat a division rival. That's always fun. Like, what is the difference between picking third and fourth in the NFL draft? It's different every year. Everyone's team needs are different. So, yeah, I've rooted against my team. I feel a little bit dirty doing it, but I can at least talk myself into, yeah, I didn't want to do it, but it made sense as to why I did.
Have you ever, here's the next question. This can even, you know, drip into college athletics. Have you ever cheered against your team because you were tired of the coach, the management, and thought that maybe something needed to, you needed to have that one last kick in the gut for the move to be made?
So I think that, to me, for the most part, goes hand in hand with the draft position thing. I don't know if I was ever actively rooting against, like, Mike Matheny for Royals fans as the manager. Didn't love the guy, but, you know, I also don't want to just, like, root against someone losing their livelihood, because, like, what if that guy's never a Major League Baseball manager again? Part of it's on him, right? My rooting interest had nothing to do with it, but I have been brought back to earth a little bit in terms of the calling for jobs where, oh, this guy sucks, he's the problem. So I think I try to frame it more as, oh yeah, we want the better draft pick. Oh yeah, we want to see the young guys play and see what they can do, more so than, yeah, screw, this guy's got to go, so lose.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, especially when you kind of put yourself in that position. I know a lot of Husker fans have probably had opportunities where they may have given up on a coach before the official announcement has been made. Mm-hmm. And so it does. I've been there. I haven't gone as far as to root against anybody, you know, hoping, because ultimately what you would hope as a fan, or what to cheer for, is that maybe you're wrong. I'd rather be wrong and my team be good than be right and then looking for the next direction of the program.
Well, that's where I'm at with the Colts. Right. Like, I was not rooting for them to be bad by any means. My expectation of the ceiling was, yeah, just be a normal 7-10. Are you telling me I was supposed to expect this from Daniel Jones? Sure, I was hoping for it, but I also understood that was in my wildest dreams.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a fever dream right now. Now, you played one team with a pulse. got a little help, but did enough to win at the end of the game. And the red zone offense still isn't there. But the Indianapolis Colts haven't started 3-0 since the last time they went to the gosh dang Super Bowl. Mm. You know, Peyton did it like once or twice. Andrew Luck did it never in his life. And they didn't even luck into it with any of the other like journeyman quarterbacks. So I was never rooting against the Colts coming into the year, but I definitely had my heart on emotional lockdown. Like, no, just flatline it. It's okay. Whatever they do, just hope they hold your attention for a while. You had my curiosity. Now you have my attention, Shane Steichen. You got it. Congratulations.
Well, it is interesting. I'll throw it out to the text line. 402-464-5685. Sartor Heyman Jewelers text line. I've just thrown out scenarios. Is there any scenario in which it is okay to root against your team? And then almost the follow-up question, could you do it? Can you actively do it? Because there's one thing to think, this might be better for my team. The other thing is to sit there and actively root for it. When the Cardinals are in a position that they could get a better draft pick, they're heading into the week, you know, they're going to win 4 or 5 games. I'd rather it be 4 so they can get a higher draft pick. I don't actively watch the game and cheer for them. I think that would be a cheer against them. I think that would be very difficult to do.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm not, yeah, no, you can't just sit down and wear your Cardinals gear and say, yes, he got sacked. Take that, Kyler.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your snapped ankle, James Conner. You did it. We're there. Oh, yeah. Let's go.
That would be tough.
No, can't do that. That's too far.
I don't think there's much possibility there. Though I do think it's interesting, just, you know, from where we sit, and we do see it on the text line, because I've seen it.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love.
I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
I've seen a little bit. Now it's a little bit. Actually, it still happens. Hoiberg still gets calls from the text line at times. Where people may be rooting, I don't know if they're rooting against him or just calls for firing him. That, of course, happened a lot more than, you know, before the previous season. Mm-hmm. Will Bolt seems to get that more than anything. They lose one game, and there's always somebody on the text line saying, yeah, he's got to go.
Yeah, Nebraska baseball is just in such a fascinating position because it's never really been a powerhouse program outside of one, like, 5 to 6 year run. And so it... Their expectations on that program that it lived up to once and hasn't before. And of course, when you taste that success, you tend to believe that, oh, this should be more repeatable. And I tend to agree that it probably should be better, not just under Will Bolt, but I mean, even under Darren Erstad, the postseason, maybe under performance, going back to Mike Anderson, the way that kind of fizzled out. Nebraska baseball probably does need to be better. But I think a head coach or a manager in baseball has even less control on anything that goes on in the batter's box and in the field and on the mound with his guys. He has less control than a football head coach. He has less control than a basketball head coach. At least it feels like it just in terms of the game itself. So Will Bolt's got plenty of questions to answer. I'm not sure he's the guy to take Nebraska baseball back to those heights, but Nebraska could certainly do worse than Will Bolt. He's fine. He's just kind of right now generic middle of the road college baseball coach.
Yeah, and last year, I mean, last year was just the hardest to really figure out a way when I mean, they finished close to 500, but they won the Big Ten tournament. So there's plenty of frustration throughout the regular season, mm-hmm. but then you end up as Big Ten champs. I mean, that's the goal all along. And then to further the questions about whether that was a good season or not, their postseason after the Big Ten, you know, wasn't all that great either. So kind of interesting to kind of dissect there. A few different thoughts here off the text line. Let's see. 1508 says Nebraska baseball is also the farthest southern team in the Big Ten before the newcomers. So kind of pointing out that, but he also said baseball doesn't matter much as in football. 100% the Titans should lose every game this year. He's already turned on his Titans.
I mean, so that's the other funny part when it comes to the NFL is, especially for the Titans, with a rookie quarterback like Cam Ward, he's like balling out and making some plays. Why do you want the Titans to lose? Probably not because of Cam Ward. If anything, I think if you're a Titans fan, you want them to lose, but still have enough infrastructure around Cam Ward that you don't shoot his confidence or get him killed, right? Like if you're going to lose game as Titans fans, you probably want him to be like 40-27, you know, see some positive signs from the offense, but, oh, we traded away our starting corner to the Jets after week three. So yeah, since the defense isn't good enough, but we can replenish that. We got youth or whatever. Be careful what you wish for. You know, you got to hope Cam Ward has the mental acuity to hold up behind that. But the Nebraska baseball thing, until someone gets it going, is going to be a fascinating conversation because it's not like the West Coast powers that got brought in are exactly powers. Oregon, sure, relatively consistent regional host and super regional team. Washington, nothing to write home about. UCLA, certainly not at the peak of its powers. And USC is one of like the most storied baseball programs in history. And they're not even there. It still does boggle my mind a little bit that Nebraska hasn't been able to pull the whole Gonzaga shtick, you know, dominate a lower major, mid-major baseball style of conference. But, you know, I don't think Husker fans should necessarily stop striving for that. But, you know, maybe Will Bolt's the guy that can get Nebraska there. And if not even he can do it, maybe this is just what Nebraska baseball is. Hard to believe. Not what we're rooting for, I think, if you're a Husker baseball fan. But at some point, a program tells you what it is. Yeah. I'm not saying it's impossible for Will Bolt to elevate it, but maybe there are more challenges than we think. Maybe it's not as simple as Big Ten bad, Nebraska must be good. Maybe there is more behind the scenes with funding, in development, in the assistant coach pool, and all that stuff that factors in even more. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I do think you're onto something there, because it is always, I mean, it was always like this arrogance, or like you said, kind of expectation once Nebraska joined the Big Ten. Oh, it's an easier baseball conference. Then you had, you know, some really good series out of the gate with Indiana or games there. And so, I mean, it kind of make you feel, okay, this is what it's going to be. And it just hasn't turned out that way quite to the level. I mean, Nebraska's won some, mm-hmm. you know, won some conference tournament champions, regular season champions. So they've seen that success to a degree, but it hasn't been running the conference. And I think you're too far in at this point to say that should be, or, you know, should still be the expectation.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing to set your goal for a program, right? Like, why can't they get there? But Nebraska baseball has proven it's not going to dominate year in, year out. It's got to take steps in that direction. Winning back-to-back Big Ten titles, fantastic. Job well done. Legitimate tip of the cap to you. But then it begs the question, okay, well, why is the regular season so suspect then? You know, is it really that hard? And that's why you can't say it was an unsuccessful season for Nebraska last year. Shoot, they made it to regionals again. That's awesome. Good on them for that. But I just worry, in terms of long-term health of the program, is it sustainable to bank on winning the Big Ten tournament every year, especially in a sport defined by random variants like baseball? No, I would rather see Nebraska, I'm sure fans would too, be more consistent in the regular season and then need to win, you know, one or two games to maybe help improve their seeding or lock up an NCAA regional appearance, rather than it's do or die. We're going to lose our first game here with the Big Ten tournament and go on a miracle run. Like, that's just not tenable in the long run.
Yeah, it's not going to happen every year, but those miracle runs are fun.
They're fun
to say that.
Yeah.
Of course, they did lose their Friday starter right out of the gate, so there are always going to be things to point to. Some news in Nebraska baseball, if you look at it that way, too, not necessarily Nebraska, but the top-rated 2027 baseball player in the state, Bubba Day of Omaha Scut, has committed to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and tough to lose that one, and tough to lose anybody to the SEC, but it kind of goes back to that question. I know you're, you know, a big basketball fan. I always kind of thought my way through that too. If I'm a top basketball prospect in Nebraska, I think I might stick around, but I don't blame many people for not if they left. I mean, even going back to the Baylor Shireman decision, Creighton certainly looks like a better option in state than Nebraska does more often than not. Unfortunately, if you're looking at developing yourself, making memories, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm a Nebraska fan through and through. I'd probably stick it out, come here, and but, you know, obviously it would never be in that situation. But my point to all that is to say, if you're Bubba Day and you picked him, I can't really blame him for picking an SEC school to go and try to develop him as a baseball player rather than in, you know, stay home and try to do one for and I don't know if his allegiance is or if he liked Nebraska or not or whatever, but you know, just to lose an in-stater, it always hurts, but
Tennessee, I mean, he's going to go play for a top five coach in the sport in Tony Vitello, right? That's a magnetic type of personality in a program that's getting guys ready for the next level. Just kind of scrolling through Nebraska's baseball roster. So this would be for 2026, Jeter and Jalen Worthley, like right from Lincoln East. Jalen has proven he can throw innings in the Big Ten. You know, Michigan wanted him as well, I believe. Good player, you know, legit college baseball player, not a superstar. You scroll through Elliot Peterson, JUCO guy, went to Arkansas, transfers back home. Max Butenbach, decent offers, but wasn't exactly having SEC teams beat down the door for him. Will Jeske transferred back into Nebraska, same sort of way. Scrolling back down just through the Nebraska guys, Joey Senstock, man, doesn't move the needle for me. Tucker Timmerman, solid, fine, good. Maybe not an SEC level arm right now. We'll see what's left. Then you get to like your Ryan Harahills out of Elkhorn North. You get to Jayshon Unger out of Blair. You get to, Colin Novacek from Elkhorn North as well. Good players, solid players, highly rated in the state. Then you think about what Nebraska missed out on in the in-state recruiting. Max Anderson only came to Nebraska because of COVID rules, because Texas A&M overstocked its roster. He didn't commit to Nebraska until he had really no other choice at that point. You think about Tyson Lewis tearing it up in complex ball for the Reds. Went to Arkansas. Barely gave Nebraska a second thought. You think about, Cam Kojal from Millard South, right? Bennett Vandy and Arkansas now. I mean, yeah, Nebraska prep baseball talent is good. But Nebraska is still struggling to bring in the no doubt, you know, number one prospects in the state that SEC schools are getting. And that's not just on Nebraska. That's, you know, who wouldn't want to go play for some of those schools in those environments? So it's on Nebraska, I think, to continue to climb the ladder of relevancy and continue to prove it can put guys in the MLB draft. That's the other problem, too, is that some of the guys that have been Nebraska preps have gone straight to college. Or not, they skipped college and gone straight to the pros, yeah. Right? Drew Christo is kind of the exception that Nebraska got here, but like a Cale Fountain, who's going to go to LSU over Nebraska. Again, high school to pros, though. So it's been just really, really interesting to, and Tyson Lewis is in that as well, went to the Reds instead of going to Arkansas. I'm going to correct myself on that. So it's more to me on Nebraska baseball, Nebraska men's basketball, Nebraska football. We spend a lot of time talking about be worthy and earn being these guys' number one consideration. You can't bank on, oh yeah, they're an in-state kid, so we automatically have a chance.
Yeah, yeah. The hometown discount is called just that because sometimes it's going to be on that person to give something out to go and stay home, and you know, not everybody necessarily wants to do that. And again, baseball recruiting always blows my mind because you do have to kind of, there's so many different options for the kid, yeah, to get them to choose your school. Of course, you know, you fill up classes. I'm not saying it's the hardest thing to do. Everybody does it and gets people in, but mm-hmm. There's just so many options, you know, for them, even beyond just, like you said, choosing from school to school, that it's that could be difficult. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. This is the Adam Character Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. We kind of talked about in this segment a little bit of Nebraska baseball there, but we were opening up, is it ever okay to cheer against your team? Just wanted to get some thoughts in there real quick. David M. said, never really can bring myself to do that. At the end of the day, it's my team and I want them to win. I think that's where most people would side, but we did have somebody text in. To be honest, I honestly rooted against Frost after the onside kick versus Northwestern. So again, it could get there. I don't necessarily blame anybody, but man, that's it's tough to make. It's tough to get so bad that you turn against your own team. And some team and some fans have been through that. I say, you know, and there's always these rules about being a fan and can't wear a jersey of someone that's older than you, whatever. Just be a fan. A fan is for fun. Have fun with it. We have all these rules for it. You can do whatever you want to. And I always like the idea, I'm more of a fan than you. Like, how do we measure that sort of stuff? It's impossible to measure. So let's go ahead and take a quick break here on the Adam Carriker Show. We'll be back with more on 93.7 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.